Facebook, if you're watching on live.thevine.tv, wherever you are, I'm going to ask you to participate because we got some things to settle, okay? Is everybody ready? Let somebody know you're ready. We're going to be good. All right, here we go, here we go, here we go. Comment your answer, okay? So here we go. Real tree or fake tree? Real tree or fake tree? We got it? Real tree or fake tree? All right, here we go. So now we've decided that one, so you know if you're a real Christmas tree or a fake Christmas tree. Okay, next, next, here we go, here we go. Tinsel or garland? Tinsel or garland? Or maybe you're not in that camp, maybe you're not in the camp. Maybe it's not tinsel or garland of the camp that you're in. Maybe it's this, burlap or ribbon? Burlap or ribbon? Go ahead, comment your answer there, let us know. Let us know. Let's see some comments come in. All right. I see you. Okay. Got some comments there. And last, the one that divides household. Maybe it's your first Christmas as a married couple. This could literally divide households. Here we go. Here we go. White lights or colored lights? White lights or colored lights? Now, I'm not talking about if you say, well, hey, I have a white tree and blue lights or red lights, that's color lights. I want to know. White lights or colored lights? So the reason that we wanted to kick this off, thank you for those who commented. Thank you for those who are joining along. No matter where you are in the middle of the week or the start of this Sunday morning, wherever you are, thank you for those who commented and joined along. Because we know, just like those questions, there are times in our life where we have to manage attention and answer those questions. Something like this, if we're honest with ourselves, maybe we wrestle with that a lot. Maybe we wrestle with someone about that a lot. I don't know where we are, but perhaps we wrestle with those questions. But here's the thing that I know we wrestle with going into this season. When I say the joy of God, do you wrestle with that? Because if we're completely honest, we can wrestle with the things that Christmas represent and what Christmas is all about. But if we're completely honest, I guarantee you some of us here today can say that we wrestle with the joy of God. And maybe it's not just at Christmas. Maybe we have all the ornaments that say joy. Maybe we have all the cards that say joy. And we talk about spreading joy and cheer. But when I talk about God and I say the joy of God, I'm willing to bet that some of us here today would say this: bah humbug. Bah humbug. It makes us think of Ebenezer Scrooge and A Christmas Carol, a lot of us here today, which is why I'm dressed here in this suit. Our theme today is a Victorian Christmas, and it's going to make sense here at the end why we have it this way. But I'm willing to bet that a lot of us here today would say when we think about joy, we either say bah humbug or we look at the joy of God and say bah humbug. And so today, that's what I want to unpack for us, because throughout this series of God with us, we want to talk about the gift that we've all really wanted to receive, and that's this gift of hope, joy, peace, and love that can only come from Jesus. But if we're completely honest, maybe we're not quite feeling it this year. So we say it every week. We say it every week as we get to prepare and come along. And so if you're watching online or you're watching here in the house, wherever you are, if you don't have a Bible, we have a way for you. Each and every week we go to the Bible app and we create an event so that you can follow along with us word by word, scripture by scripture. You can even take personal notes, and you also can find our contact information so we can serve you in any way. So we say it every week, but prepare and hang in there with me because it's someone's first time hearing this. So I'm going to show you really quick how you can do that and join us along on the Bible app. So what you got to do is you're going to pull up the Bible app on your phone. And what's going to happen is as you pull up the Bible app here on your phone, when you do that, you're going to click the More tab. The More tab. And when you click the More tab, you're going to click Events. Events. And once you click Events, You're going to make sure your location services is on. You're going to see the Vine Worship Experience, and you're going to see the series info. You're going to see contact info. You're going to see ways that you can reach out to us, ways that you can pray for us, but more important, ways we can pray for you, excuse me. More importantly, it's a place for you to take notes if you like to do things in the digital world, and a way that you can follow along with Scripture, because today isn't just about today. Today is something that we can look back to all week long and see what God is teaching us. So that's for you today if you would like to join us on the Bible app. If not, and you have a Bible, I want you to get there to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18 is where we're going to pick up. And once again, the name of this message is Bah Humbug. So as you see the scripture pop on the screen, before we dive into it, I want to set it up this way. As you get there and you're flipping 1 Kings, it's in the Old Testament, so you're flipping through, you're trying to get there. 1 Kings chapter 18. I want to ask you this. So we talked about real tree or fake tree, colored lights or white lights, garland, tinsel, ribbon, or burlap, wherever you are on that spectrum. I just want to ask you this. Have you ever made a bad decision? Has anyone ever made a bad decision? Anyone? I probably made a couple of them this morning. As a matter of fact, have any of us made a bad investment? Has any of us made a bad investment? And what I mean by that is it's kind of like something that you've invested your time, your talent, your treasure. You've invested your energy and your money into it, but you didn't get a valuable return on your initial investment. Has anyone ever experienced that or walked through that? If you have, then you're not alone in that. I want to let you know that I've made a few of those myself. But what I want to get to is maybe the reason we can't experience the joy of God is we've made a bad investment. Maybe we've made a bad decision somewhere along the way, and I want to go ahead and give you hope and tell you not to change the channel, because I'm not here to condemn you today. There's hope in this message, but today I just want you to see maybe how you can experience the joy of God, because when we give our time, our energy, our money, and our emotion to something that does not return an investment, we've made a bad decision, because anything we give our time, our energy, our money, our talent, our treasure, our relationship, our life to is what we call worship. You see, just a few minutes ago, we had some songs from our Vine worship team who always do an incredible job, and a lot of us just spent that time singing, if you will. Like, we sang, right? Like, we sang songs. We didn't engage fully in worship, and the reason that some of us today may not be experiencing the joy of the Lord is we have our worship in the wrong place. We've made a bad investment somewhere. And so I want to tell you today, as we set this up, when we choose to invest in the wrong things, that's why we don't get to experience true, everlasting joy. So let's dive into the Word of God and dive in to see what God has for us today, because I believe it's a crazy, awesome word. So 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to pick up in verse 17. I'm going to set it up here. So a lot of us have heard about Israel. These are God's chosen people, and if you had to talk to me about some favorite Bible characters I have, Joshua in the Old Testament is by far one of my favorite. He led Israel into the promised land, and not only did he lead Israel into the promised land, he got to help them experience what God had promised Abraham so, so long ago, and God chose him to lead. But if you were to talk to me about that and say, who are some other favorite Bible characters of mine, we're going to talk about some today, is this guy named Elijah and some guy named Elisha. We talked about him not too long ago. So I want you to know today, to set this up, we're with the nation of Israel. And what's happened in Israel is Israel goes into God's promised land, and they take fruit from trees they didn't plant. They get to go and experience God's promise, and they go through some guys called judges, and they go through some guys called the prophets. And all of a sudden, Israel says, we need a king. We want to have a king like everybody else here. We want to have a king like every other nation we conquered. And so God gives Israel a king, and his name is Saul. He gets a little crazy at the end. Don't worry about it. And then it leads to a guy that we've all heard of. We read about a lot. His name is David. And so David has a son. His name is Solomon. And so Saul, David, and Solomon were the only three kings that led a united Israel. Because what happened after that is Israel breaks apart, 10 tribes rebel into the northern kingdom called Israel. Two other tribes, we'll say, go to the southern kingdom called Judah. And what ends up happening is where we're going to pick up the story, is Israel in the northern kingdom goes through some pretty bad kings, okay? And so the king in this story is King Ahab, And Elijah is the prophet here, and he's talking to Ahab, and believe it or not, he's actually talking about where maybe we've made some, where Ahab has made some bad decisions and investments, and maybe where some of us today have. And the reason that Elijah wanted to walk through this with Ahab is so that he could experience joy. So if you want to experience true joy today, I want you to hang in here with me because we're going to get to it. So 1 Kings 18 and verse 17 says it this way. When he, speaking of Ahab, saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" Sounds like somebody popular, right? "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and followed Baal's." See, Ahab had this wife. I'm sure we've all heard of them. If we ever had family who stayed up and watched stories, if you know what I mean, they watched stories online or they watched soap operas in the middle of the day. There was somebody in this, Ahab's wife, her name was Jezebel. So you know if their name was Jezebel, it meant something. That's something you don't want to name your kid because Ahab and Jezebel were there. They were corrupt individuals. And believe it or not, they've led the entire nation of Israel to worship Baals. Okay? So they've taken all of Israel's time, talent, treasure, and life and pointed it to Baal. Okay? So Elijah's calling that out. And he says, "You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all of Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel." Notice I didn't say caramel. I said Carmel. "Meet me on Mount Carmel." One of my favorite stories here, guys. "And bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So to set this up, that's where we are. So Elijah goes to the king. The king says, "You troubler of Israel." He says, "You troubler of Israel, what are you doing here?" And Elijah says, "Okay, I've had enough. I want you to call all the prophets of Baal. I want you to call all the prophets of Asherah, and let's go up to the mountain, and let's go to where the altar of God is, and let's see who God is." And what ends up happening is Elijah gets to the top of the mountain. We'll pick up some more scripture here in a minute, and it's going to connect here in a second, so hang in here with me. Elijah sets up two altars, okay? Believe it or not, there's actually two altars there. There is an altar to Baal and an altar to God. And Elijah in verse 20, it's not going to be on your screen, but if you're reading along here and you just want to see there, verse 20, Elijah talks about, hey, how long will you go between two opinions? Because the entire nation of Israel is standing there watching on Mount Carmel as the prophets of Baal come against Elijah. 450, actually 850 of these prophets to this one prophet, Elijah. 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah versus one prophet, and that is Elijah, the prophet of God. And all of a sudden, they set up two altars, and Elijah said, "How long will you choose between two opinions? How long will you choose between real tree or fake tree? How long will you choose between colored lights and white lights?" You know what I'm saying? How long will you choose? Because we wrestle with where we choose, right? We wrestle with where we worship. And so Elijah says, "How long will you choose between the two?" As a matter of fact, if you followed up or you grew up in church, Jesus talks about that in Revelation. He says, if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. You're either cold or you're hot. You can choose. You can't have your feet in both. And these are God's chosen people who know of God's miracles, who've heard of generations how God parted the Red Sea, how God brought them into a land of promise, a land flowing of milk and honey, and they know who God is, and yet instead of worshiping God, they chose to worship Baals. And the scariest thing for me, which is why this heart for the house is so important for us today as we talk about our heart for the house sowing day, the scariest thing to me, one of the many, but one of the things that are scary to me that's found in the Bible is found in verse 21. When Elijah said, "How long will you choose between the two? Today you will either choose Baal or you will choose God." It ends in verse 21 by saying, "But the people said nothing." The people said nothing. So here in the Bible Belt, a lot of us come to church this time of year. We've heard about who Jesus is. We know who Jesus is, but maybe we've not experienced him as our Lord and Savior. But that's kind of where Israel is. They've heard of who God is. They know what he represents. But instead of choosing to worship him, instead, they worship Baal. And what's scary is this time of year, in the hustle and bustle that is Christmas, we see so many people trying to find their joy and peace in the one more gift, one more decoration, one more party to go to, one more gathering, one more friend, one more outing, one more function. And so many times in their life, they're so busy trying to find their joy in the one more and something that won't fulfill that they missed out on the only thing that can fill their whole being, that can give them purpose, that can give them freedom from sin, that can give them life, that can give them joy everlasting, peace everlasting, hope everlasting, and that can only come through Jesus Christ. And we as Christians sometimes can be just like the nation of Israel because we're so afraid that we're going to offend someone that we remain silent when we can point to Jesus. And just like Elijah's saying right there, today is the day that we can choose where our worship is. Because the first point, if you're taking notes today, I've only got two for you today. The first point is this. We can either choose creation, that is Baal, that is false gods, or we can choose creator. See, this time of year, we either choose creation, or we choose creator. We choose creation or creator. We choose to celebrate the trees and the gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, I'm not telling you, I love Christmas. It's one of my favorite holidays of the year. It's amazing. I love it. It's when families get together. It's when things can seem like they're going really bad, but this one day a year we can set it aside and have a great time together. I'm not against that, but what I'm trying to tell you is if your whole time, your talent, and your treasure is invested in only one day a year, you're missing out on a joy-filled, fulfilled life. And so Elijah is standing there, and what he's trying to tell Israel, and what I want to encourage you with today, because there's going to be a way that you can experience joy. So hang in here with me today. Today, what I want to encourage you with is this. If you show me the object of your worship, I'll show you the measure of your joy. One more time. Show me the object of your worship, and I will show you the measure of your joy. In other words, if you show me the object of your worship is a false god, the object of your worship is Christmas, gifts under the tree, anything like that, the one more, if you show me that is the object of your worship, I'll tell you your joy is very little, and it's not sustainable. But if you'll show me that Jesus, who came down that we celebrate this time of the year, is the object of your worship, I promise you, I can tell you, your joy is very high, no matter what season or circumstance you walk in. And Elijah sees that for God's people, and he hurts for them, and he says, today is the day that you can choose. So let's pick back up the story in verse 25, and he talks about this creation versus creator. So here we go. Elijah says to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So what Elijah's done right here is he set up, they have the two altars set up. There's the altar of God and there's the altar of Baal. And what ends up happening is they say, whichever God lights the fire is the true God of Israel. And that's the God we will worship. So Elijah goes and he tells them to set up their offer, prepare the bull. And so he gets these prophets, they get to do their thing. So they took the bull given to them and they prepared it. And they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. Now what's crazy about this scripture and what I don't quite know here is from morning till noon, let's just say that the morning time is 9 a.m. So from 9 a.m. till noon, they call on the name of Baal and they say, Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar that they had made. And at noon, this is why I love Elijah, my dude right here. At noon, he began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is in deep thought or busy or traveling. Now, we read from the NIV a lot here at the Vine, and I don't know what you grew up. Maybe you grew up with NKJV or KJV, but a message, if you were to ever go into the ESV version, you'll actually see what it compares this traveling to is Elijah actually said, maybe he's relieving himself. So maybe your God's busy doing other things, or maybe he's just in the bathroom and he's got the occupado turned on in the porta potty right now so he can't hear you. So he gets there and he says maybe he's busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Some of us today may be struggling with cutting. It's something that's a phenomenon that has been around for a long time. We think that it's something that our teenagers grapple with now, or even folks in college or any age of life grapple with now. But this has been around for thousands of years. I want to show you it might be because of the object of your worship that you're mutilating yourself. And I want to tell you there is hope. And if you need help, I just want to stop right here. Whoever I'm talking to, if you need help because you're struggling with cutting, we're here for you. We have people here who would love to pray with you, who would love to walk with you through this season, because I want to tell you there is so much more for you than what you're walking through. I want to tell you that. God made you for so much more. So if you need help today, please reach out to us. Email us at prayer@thevine.tv. Call us, 864-580-6698. Do not let today go by that you don't talk to somebody about that, because there's so much greater for you. Moving on. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until time for the evening sacrifice. Let's say 5 p.m. So from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., they danced around this altar. You think Baal responded? There was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. You see, today, maybe when we talk about the joy of God, the reason we say bah humbug is we don't feel like anyone is responding. We don't feel like anyone's answering us. We don't feel like anybody's paying attention. If no one's paying attention, then how in the world can we experience joy? I want to tell you, my friend, it might be the object of your worship is why no one is responding. Because as I was thinking about this, something that might connect with us is I was thinking, like, have you ever just seen anybody look ridiculous or do something ridiculous that you just can't help but laugh? Like, maybe it's me. I don't know. Whatever that is. I don't know if there's a person in your life, and if you don't have somewhere or someone in your life that you can say looks ridiculous, congratulations, it's you. I just want to let you know today. Like, when I think about the things that are ridiculous, like, I think of the crazy car lot guy that's dancing around, the little inflatable thing. Like, that's so ridiculous, you can't help but laugh at it. One of the stories I was thinking of this week, especially this time of year, is I think of family. I was thinking about my Ma Seals, which is my grandmother, it's my father's mother. And I was thinking of a trip that I wasn't on, but it was a lady's trip she was with. And some family had gone to the mountains. And believe it or not, my mother had fallen. And when she fell outside, I'm laughing now because I'm thinking of the story and how she told it, but when she fell outside, she thought, when my mother fell, or she heard someone fall, she didn't know someone fell, she said, there's a cloud a-coming. She thought, she heard someone fall, and the first thing she equated to was a storm in the middle of the mountains. And I laugh about that story, and I laugh about it because it was a scary situation. My mother had fallen, but my grandmother, who wasn't in the same room as her, was outside and didn't realize anybody was falling. But the ridiculousness was she thought that it was a thunderstorm. And I don't know why. It brings me joy. It brings me laughter to think about that. But maybe in our life, we think about that. Maybe we just look at something and think of how ridiculous it is. Believe it or not, maybe we look at these prophets of Baal and talk about how ridiculous it is, because the people of God have heard God. They've experienced God. They know the truth of God. They know who God is. But all of a sudden, these guys are dancing around these altars. And I mean, you say that, man, I don't know why you're sharing this message, because that don't have anything to do with me. I'm not dancing around any altars. I don't have an Asherah pole set up. I don't have an altar in my house. I don't have anything like that. They just look ridiculous. And so, a lot of times, I just want to share with you, sometimes people look ridiculous until we see ourselves in the story. So we may not spend time worshiping Baal, but I just want you to hang in here, because remember I said the morning time they started shouting to Baal. So at 9 a.m. they started shouting to Baal till 5 p.m. If that don't click, it will in just a minute. So maybe today, I just want to encourage you, because I believe there's something that God wants. He's trying to show you something today. I want to encourage you to say, maybe today you're not worshiping Baal, but maybe the object of your worship isn't where it's supposed to be. As a matter of fact, so we can see ourselves in this story, maybe the object of our worship is a sports team. You can't see this here. This is, if you know anything about Tyler, I love the Seminoles. I love the Florida State Seminoles. Believe it or not, this year I didn't get to watch any games, but I will tell you, they had a rough year. But I will tell you, if you know anything about me, I love the Florida State Seminoles. And when I say sports, I say sports teams. I don't know, maybe it's a sport itself. But maybe the object of your worship is that, because you can lose your mind when they score a touchdown, get angry when they hurt themselves. But here's a weird way that you can know that maybe that sports team is the object of your worship. If their win or loss affects you the next day, they might be the object of your worship. Not to say that you can't have sports, not to say that you can't have fun. Don't hear me the wrong way here. I'm saying that if you live or die by what these men or women do on a field, on a court, wherever they are, if you live and die by that, maybe, just maybe, the object of your worship is in the wrong place. Maybe, just maybe, if you're constantly without joy, you're putting your hope in that sports team and those people on that sports team, and that's where your worship is and your hope is there. And I will tell you this about those men and women. They can't sustain the weight of your worship. They never can. Those men and women cannot sustain the weight of your worship. And I want you to know that maybe today there's some things clicking and maybe it's a little tension right now as you're listening or watching. And I want you to know today that there's freedom from that. And today you can experience true joy through Jesus. But you just got to get some things lined up right. You just got to get some things lined up right and be aware of maybe some things that you're worshiping that you may not have even knew you worshiped. So sports. Sports is one. Oh, maybe the next one is you worship this. Oh, man. The relationship or the ring. Oh, you look so forward to that person, that spouse you either have or don't have. You look so forward to that. You look so forward to them. And that you put the entire weight of salvation in your life, you make them your Savior instead of Jesus. You've worshiped them, and I want to tell you that you're setting them up for failure because they can't be your Savior. They can't. And as a matter of fact, young man or young woman, I want to tell you today, or man or woman, wherever you are, if there's a person in your life that you've said, they're the best I'm going to get, so I'm just going to settle, I want to tell you that Jesus has something so much greater for you and for them. And I want to tell you today that if you've devalued yourself enough that you're in a relationship with someone who cannot commit to you because you have put your hope of salvation in them, you're setting them up for failure and you're setting yourself up for failure. Because the way that a relationship works well is that a man becomes all he is in God, a woman becomes all she is in God, and God brings them together, and he is the bond that holds them together, and they become together all God made them to be together. But there has to be, our worship has to be in the right place. And we can't dance around the altar of the beautiful wedding, dance around the altar of a relationship that cannot sustain us. That person cannot sustain the weight of your worship. Hey, maybe it's the weekend. Everybody's working for the weekend. Maybe you're stuck in the weekend. Maybe you look forward to the weekend. Now listen, I'm not talking about special occasions. I'm not telling you can't have fun. But maybe the weight of your worship, the object of your worship, is on the weekend. And weekend after weekend, that's all you look forward to. And you keep promising yourself this weekend's going to be better. You keep promising yourself that I'm going to do better. And all you're doing is shouting louder and louder and hoping that someone responds and no one's going to answer. Because I just want to ask you, if that's the object of your worship, how is that working out? How is your joy? I've been there. It's not fun. I promise you, you don't have joy. And I want to ask you and tell you and encourage you today that there's so much more joy for you that's more than just the weekend. Last but not least, maybe the object of your worship is a 9-to-5. Maybe that 9-to-5 means more to you than your family, your friends, everything around you. And listen, I'm a workaholic, so I can understand, and I have to watch out where that can be the object of my worship. But I will tell you, if your worship and the object of your worship is in 9-to-5, watch how quickly they replace you when they let you go. I promise you, that job cannot sustain the weight of your worship. It was not meant to do that. God created us to work, yes, but that is just an object and a tool by which we get to live out exactly who he made us to be. And the way that we live out exactly who he made us to be is to share him with the world, because he is our joy. He is the weight of our worship. He is the one that we will always lift up. And so today, maybe even you in church world, I will tell you, in ministry world, if the object of your worship is your ministry, I just want to give you a word. It can't sustain you either. Only Jesus can sustain the weight of your worship. If career and money were the way that we could have joy, Hollywood, Las Vegas, and Wall Street would be the happiest, most joy-filled place on earth. And last I checked, they ain't Disney. So today, if you're struggling with your joy and you're struggling with finding joy in this season, I just want to ask you, because maybe it's not as ridiculous. Maybe we, all of us, I will tell you, myself included, can dance around an altar of something and give our entire worship to it without realizing that we're taking our worship away from the very creator of the universe, because we're worshiping creation more than the creator. And so today, I want you to know that God created you to experience joy. And when you put your worship in the wrong thing, many times I want you to know he's going to correct you, not condemn you, because he wants to give you so much more. Let's go on with the story. Verse 30 is where we're going to pick up, and then we're going to finish this story, and we'll talk about how it all comes together. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. So these prophets of Baal have been dancing around from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., they've been dancing around this altar. No one responded. And Elisha says, "Okay, it's my turn now. You've called out to your God. You've tried to make it happen. It's my turn now." And so verse 30 goes on to say this: "They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones." Hey, my dude Joshua took 12 stones too when they crossed the Jordan. I love this. "One for each of the tribes that descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came saying, 'Your name shall be Israel.' With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, laid it on the wood. Then he said to him, 'Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again,' he said." Here's the thing. Let me tell you this. If you have Jesus as the object of your worship, it will overflow. Elijah is pointing right here how a relationship and a life that's filled with Jesus will always overflow. "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." 30 minutes that Elijah did this, then he prayed. So 8 hours of dancing around with no response, 30 minutes, and what happens in verse 38 is this: "Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" Here's the second thing I have for you today. First is either we are worshiping creation or creator. Second thing is this, apathy or adjustment. Apathy versus adjustment. Apathy or adjustment. We can either have apathy or we can have adjustment, because today I'm telling you, maybe God's revealing to you what the object of your worship is. And hey, maybe God is the center of your worship and you get to experience the joy that Elijah just got to be a part of, where you get to see hearts turn back to him. I want to tell you, that's why the Vine Church exists. That's exactly what we do, because we want to see hearts turn to God and people confessing him as Lord of their life. That's awesome. But I don't want you to fall silent like verse 21 says, and don't share it with the world. That's our calling, to share it with the world. Or maybe today you understand that you're stuck worshiping the altar of Baal, and I just don't want you to have apathy, because today you can make an adjustment. It's really simple. You can really, really make an adjustment, because God's not trying to condemn you. He's trying to correct you. Maybe you're seeing here and you think, well, hey, man, maybe if God knew that I was worshiping Baal, if God knew what I did this weekend, there's no way that he would love me. I want to tell you, he does. And he's waiting for you to respond and call him to be Lord of your life. He's waiting. But maybe you have a relationship with him and you're like Israel and you've kind of turned your worship away from him into an object or something else. And today, he's not condemning you. He's correcting you to turn you back to him so that you can be a part of hearts turning back to him, and so that you can maybe for the first time in a long time experience the joy of Christmas, the joy of the hope of salvation, the joy of the hope that only Jesus can bring. So if you are looking to adjust, I've got a few things for you, and then we'll be done today. If you're looking to adjust, number one, acknowledge what was ruined. This isn't going to be on the screen. This is just if you're willing to adjust today. The reason it's not on the screen is I want you to see that if you're willing to adjust today, you got some steps you can take. Here's some next steps. Acknowledge what was ruined. Elijah did in verse 30. He saw that the altar of God was ruined, and it says he repaired and he rebuilt it. And when I thought about this, I always think of a tractor in the middle of the field. What if you went down to Tractor Supplier, you went to the John Deere dealer in your town, you bought a brand new tractor with 0 miles on it, you took it, you plopped it in the middle of a field, and when you plopped it in the middle of a field, all of a sudden, you didn't do anything with it, and you left it for 10 years. I wonder what that tractor would look like. Would it even start up? Would it still work? Or would it be rusted out? Because here's the thing, when we acknowledge what is ruined in our life, anything that we neglect in our life will be ruined. It will be destroyed. It will be left in ruins. And if we've neglected our worship for the Lord, then our worship right now for him is in ruins, and he wants you back. He wants to grow in his relationship with you. He wants you to grow in your relationship with him, but he don't want you to leave the altar in ruins. And that's exactly where Elijah was, is the people of God had turned their worship away from him and instead into the object of his creation. And so today, look at your life and see what maybe is lying in ruins. And I want to tell you, God wants to prepare a way for you to correct it. And here's the question you can ask yourself if you can't quite find maybe where the things in your life could be ruined as you're acknowledging those things is, here's the question for you. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've been closer to Jesus than you are now? One more time. Has there ever been a time in your life that you've been closer to Jesus than you are now? And if there has been, listen, he's not done with you. Today's the day that you can make an adjustment and say, today I'm closer to Jesus than I've ever been, because he's showed me where I've been worshiping the wrong thing, and now he will be the center of my worship. Number two, submission to the Word of God. If you're looking to make an adjustment, submit to the Word of God. In all my time in ministry and all my time following Jesus, I've never once had someone come to me and say, my life was completely ruined because I submitted to the Word of God and obeyed every word of it. I've never once had that. Now, hey, there's a first time for everything, but I'm willing to bet if somebody submits to the Word of God and they obey every word and take every next step God calls them to take, I promise you they'll experience joy that's everlasting. They'll experience peace and purpose that will last for eternity. And I'm telling you right now, I've never had anyone say that. So today, maybe you need to submit to the Word of God. Maybe there's an area of your life that's just out of line with the Word of God, and he's revealing it to you right now. If there is, and you have a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit's revealing that to you right now. Today's the day you can make an adjustment for that. You can make an adjustment for that. You can change that. That's awesome. So he's showing you that. Submit to the Word of God. Number three, repent. Repent. Turn away Repent is literally turning away from something that's against the word of God and turning back to the word of God. Now, here's the thing that we grew up in church hearing. If we just confess it at church, it's okay. But here's the thing that we miss out on. Confession and repentance go hand in hand. We talk about James 5:16. Confess your sins to your brother. The prayer of a righteous man is heard. It will bring healing to those, right? Like, we just say if you confess our sins. But I'm telling you, if you come to church every Sunday and you ask God to get you out of debt, but on Monday morning you're the first one in line at the sale to max out your credit card, I promise you that confession is how we've misconstrued it in church world. Is that confession is not information. That confession is transformation. And confession and repentance go hand in hand. And if you confess to God that He is Lord of your life will be completely transformed. The same thing goes when you repent. When you confess to God and repent, it's time for you to turn away from those things that are drawing you away from God, and He wants to bring you closer to Him and to grow in Him. And so today, maybe repentance is what you need to do, and remember that confession is transformation, not information. You want to know if you need an attitude of repentance, the number one phrase I hear and the number one phrase I say, maybe this is just me talking to you, is when I say, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm right on the edge of being in repentance. I don't want to worship this way anymore. It's time for me to put Jesus at the center of my worship. It's time for me to trust what Jesus has called me to do. That's when I know that I'm in a state of repentance. And I want to tell you this and encourage you with this. The only reason God would call you away from this, from creation, or from something in your life, or He would take something away in your life, is because He wants to give you something so much better. And so today, if you're stuck in that, when you confess your sins and make them known, I want you to know, when you confess and you talk to God and you're asking for transformation, and you instead of being bitter at Him and saying, oh, by humbug, because you took this out of my life, I want you to trust Him to know that what He took out of your life, He's not only going to restore, He's going to make it greater in your life. I want you to know today that only happens if the object of your worship is in the right place. And last, I want you to start with the heart. You see, Elijah says right there at the end of, he says this at the end of verse 37, so that the people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Jesus isn't after your behavior. He's not after your 12-step program. He's not after your positiveness all the time or your fake optimism. He's after your heart. And where we can get stuck this time of year, if I'm completely honest, the reason that I'm all dressed up in this suit is because so many times we dress up and we try to make it look good in our life when we have not experiencing true joy. Behind this dressing is something that is broken, is hurting, and is busted up. And we struggle with the joy of God because we're too busy trying to keep up the appearance that we have it all together. I want to tell you, we don't. We don't. Because the object of my worship is the appearance more than where I really, really am. And when I realize where I really, really am, and I realize how broken I really, really am, and how I am in sin, and without Jesus, there's no way that I can experience joy. That and only that is where I have true transformation, and my life has changed eternally. And so today, I wonder if you're saying bah humbug under your breath, but you're wearing a really nice shirt. Or you're going out and you're saying, I serve at the soup kitchen, but I don't know what it is to have real joy. I give to this charity. I do this thing. I have all these good works, so therefore I should experience joy. And I want to tell you, no. Jesus could care less about your behavior. He just wants your heart. If you'll give it to Him and He's the object of your worship, you'll get to experience joy everlasting. Because the object of your worship will determine the measure of your joy. Is your joy this season in a tree, in a gift, in a stocking, white lights, colored lights, real tree, fake tree, burlap, ribbon, tinsel, or garland? Or is the object of your worship what the entire universe, what all of creation celebrated 2,000 years ago when the Son of Man came to earth and angels worshiped and sang? What is the object of your worship? Because here's what I know today. Three reasons why maybe we don't think we can experience joy today. Our past sin. We think that if Jesus knew what we did, there's no way he would love us. And I want to tell you, the reason he came to this earth is to set you free from that. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. Your past is your past, and when you give it to Jesus, it can be redeemed. And if you want to experience joy today, you got to get past your past. Number two, your present circumstances. Maybe you feel like you're in a hopeless situation. You feel like you're in a place where you can experience joy. And I want to tell you, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can experience joy in all seasons. The diagnosis may seem gloom. The diagnosis may seem like it's not something that looks great for you. And maybe the doctor's telling you your time on this earth may not be long, but I promise you the people who have a relationship with Jesus will tell you, even in the frustration, even in the storm, they can have joy and peace because Jesus is at the center of their life. Maybe you're just lost the job and you're saying, how can you tell me this? I just lost my job. There's no way that something greater is coming in my life. And I want to tell you that if Jesus is the center of your life and he is the object of your worship, something better is to come. I promise you that. He promises that. That's not my word, that's his. So whatever your present circumstance is, maybe you think that can prevent you from having true joy. And I want to tell you, don't let your present circumstance be the object of your worship. Don't let your past sin be the object of your worship. And number three, don't let an uncertain future be the object of your worship and rob you of the joy of God. Maybe you say, well, my future is bleak. If you knew what they said about me, if you knew, like, I'm at my wit's end, like, there's no way that I can go on, I want to tell you, you can through Christ. And with Jesus at the center of your life, you will. Because what I want to tell you today is when it comes to Christmas, God didn't send us a stocking stuffer. He sent his son to set us free from our sins, to give us peace, joy, and life everlasting. And his son came and lived a life that we couldn't live, died the death that we deserved on the cross, but loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day. And when I talk about the object of my joy, I know that my joy is only full and complete because I know that my very life comes from Christ Jesus. And so today, I want to ask you, is there ever been a time that you've given your life to Jesus? Maybe the reason that you can't experience joy in this season isn't because you've heard the word of God or isn't because you've heard about who Jesus is. It's that you've never responded. It's that you've always had the object of your worship be the things of this world instead of a Savior that came and gave all so that you can have life. Because the thing that God gave us is worth so much more than a gift under a tree. It is a gift of life. The thing is, though, you've got to receive it. No one can do it for you. Your righteous acts can't do it. The way you dress up, the good deeds you do, the penance that you pay, the amount of time, talent, and treasure you give away to organizations that impact the world will not change your eternity unless you give your life to Jesus. And I want to tell you that if the object of your worship is anything but Jesus, you're heading to destruction just like the prophets of Baal. The scariest thing about that story, and you won't hear about a lot of times in church world, is those prophets were slaughtered. Those prophets were killed. They literally were killing themselves and worshiping. They led themselves to their own destruction. But yet the people of God that turned their hearts to God could experience life and joy, not just one day a year, but every day of the year. Because every day is like Christmas. Every day is filled with joy. And so today, I just want to ask you, have you ever done that? You see, Ephesians 2, verse 14 through 16 says it this way, "For he himself is our peace, who has made two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside his flesh, the law, with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity of the two, thus making peace, and in one body reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." So I'm sharing you that to say the difference between these two altars is the cross. It is the cross. It is nothing else. It is the cross of Jesus. The way that you go from this altar, worshiping Baal, not experiencing joy, not having a fulfilled life, not having any purpose in life, and then turn to have that is by the cross that is Jesus and experiencing God as only you were created to do. And so today, here is your opportunity. Today, your heart, where is it worshiping? Today is the day that you can give your life to Jesus. I don't know where you are on the spectrum of things, but I want you to know that if the object of your joy is anything but him, There's no way that you can live a life of purpose, a life full of hope, a life full of peace, a life full of joy, no matter what the circumstance that you're walking in, no matter what you're going through. I want to tell you, you can have joy this season, the joy that God promises, but you got to give your life to Jesus, and you've got to receive the gift that is salvation. So we do this every week. It's the reason that we exist here at the Vine Church is we want to connect others to Jesus, because just like Elijah said, we want people to see that Jesus is after their heart, not their behavior. So with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, if you're watching us online or wherever you are, even if it's in the middle of the week or the cafe, I want you to know that there is hope for each and every one of us today, because each and every one of us were born dancing around the altar of false gods. Believe it or not, we were born into sin, all of us. And so many times in our life, even though we're dancing around these altars that lead to our destruction, we try to dress nice, we try to look nice, and we make the world think that we have it all together, when inside, there's something missing. And we realize that something is missing is Jesus. And we realize that he came so that we didn't have to dance around this altar that's built to Baal anymore. We didn't have to dance around the altar of a 9-to-5, a college sports team, or a relationship that doesn't matter. He came to set us free, to set us free. We realize that he came to this earth. He lived the life that we couldn't live, the perfect life we couldn't live. He fulfilled the law, as it said in Ephesians. He died the death that we deserved on the cross. The death, the destruction we deserve for worshiping false gods, for living in sin, he died the death we deserved on the cross. But you see, he loved us enough that he didn't just stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we can experience life, joy, and peace that can only come from the very creator of the universe. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed today, I'm going to ask you, we pray together for those who are coming to the faith for the first time. And so I'm going to ask you with every head bowed and every eye closed today to repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I don't want to live this way anymore. I believe you lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if for the first time you can say that you have given your life to Jesus, you have received this free gift of salvation, I wonder you to respond. I'm going to count to three, and I'm just going to ask you to comment. I'm going to ask you to email hello@thevine.tv. I'm going to ask you to respond to the hand that's raised if you're watching online live at live.thevine.tv, wherever you are. I'm going to ask you to respond, because here's the thing. Today you can experience joy eternally, but it's only through Christ Jesus. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you to respond. 1, 2, 3. If that's you right now, would you respond? Would you let us know that you have given your life to Jesus? Because I want to let you know, just like how they got to experience joy, how Elijah got to see people's hearts turn back to Jesus, turn back to God, I want you to know that you can experience something that's so much more, a purpose-filled life, a life that is filled with joy, hope, and peace, and it only comes through Christ. If that's you today, don't let today go by without responding to us. So let us know, respond. Let us know at hello@thevine.tv, if nothing else. You can call us, shoot us a text at 864-580-6698. Wherever you are, I would ask that you respond, because today I want you to experience the joy of God. I want you to not say bah humbug anymore. I want you to be able to know that Jesus is the reason for this season, and because he's the reason, we can have joy, because he is the object of our worship. And as we get ready for this last song, I just want to ask you about the object of your worship. Maybe you have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you have one. But today, God's revealed some things in you that maybe you've been worshiping that aren't what he has for you. And I just want you to make an adjustment. If you need prayer for that, I wish you would email us at prayer@thevine.tv. Let us know. We'd love to walk with you through that season, because all of us are in that season from time to time. And when God reveals something to us, it's because he wants something greater for us, especially when he has us turn for it. So I just want to say, as we say we are praising the name of God in this last worship song, I want you to say that you can praise the name of God, because he alone is the joy of our salvation. I'll see you right after this song.
where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on the cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing. Son of heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King.
Sing it out.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
About this so much, and the reason that we shared this message today on Heart for the House Sowing Day is we know that Jesus is the object of our worship. Here at the Vine Church, we are about connecting others to a life filled and found only in Christ Jesus. And so today, the reason we celebrate being able to give so much is because we are able to take steps of obedience to reach the world with the hope of the gospel. And so today, I want to thank each and every sower at the Vine Church, each and every person that's been a part of the Vine all the way through. I want you to know the reason we do what we do and the reason you do what you do is because Jesus is the object of your worship. And because of that, it is overflowing to the ends of the world. And so today, I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ, but I want you to know if you want to experience Jesus like never before, we would love to come have you hang out with us. And if you're plugged into a local church, I want you to know that Jesus has you there for a purpose to experience joy. And today is the day that you can share it with the whole world because this is the season that we celebrate the coming King. There are people that don't even know the name of Jesus, but they sing, O Holy Night or Silent Night. And so today is the day that we can share to overflow who the object of our worship is. So I thank each and every one of you for that. I thank you for how you've given your time, talent, and treasure and obedience to what Jesus is calling us to be a part of, because I know that the best is still yet to come. So I don't know where you are, but here at the end, we always pray together as a family. So give us, I don't care if you're at the coffee shop right now and you're in your spot, go find a friend and we're going to pray together so that the world can see that the object of our worship is Christ Jesus, that we have something that's worth so much more than that cup of coffee, worth so much more than that gift under a tree. We have Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to tell you, we're going to pray right now. Get your arm around somebody and love on them real well. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you that you came, and you came to give us life. You saw us at our worst. You saw us worshiping prophets, worshiping false prophets, worshiping things that can never fill, but you made a way and gave us something that can fill, and that is by you coming down, living a life we couldn't live, dying the death we deserve on the cross. Love us enough not to stay dead, but you rose again on the third day so we could experience life. So Jesus, I pray that we would be life givers, that we would be hope dealers, that we would be joy fillers this week. As we get to go out, I pray that it would be overflow. I pray that you would create opportunities for us to show others your joy this week. And maybe we're struggling with your joy. I pray that you would give us the strength to step into Christian community and see others are willing to walk with us through this season so that we can have joy and show this joy that only you give us to the world. Jesus, thank you for each and every person that is a part of this. Thank you for allowing us to have the technology to do this, to having the people with the know-how to do this. But more importantly, thank you for allowing us to be a part of taking steps of obedience in you and seeing your blessing overflow to the world. We love you, Lord. We can't wait to see what you have in store throughout this week as you bring us back together next week. It's your wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Hey, everyone, make sure that you join us next week and wear your ugly Christmas sweater. I promise you, it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. I can't wait to see you because we're going to celebrate, and the name of our message is the best Christmas pageant ever. If you know, you know. We'll see you next week.